You're listening to the Direction for Life podcast. We pray this episode blesses you. We'd love to connect with you. Visit us at rdci.info or on Facebook at Right Direction Church International. Also, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at TheRDCI. We hope you enjoy this broadcast.
All a budget is a spending plan. And there's some of you say, listen, I don't have enough money to budget. That's why you need the budget. The less you have, the more you need the budget. If you have surplus and money coming from everywhere and money everywhere, okay, if it ain't here, you'll get it from here. But if that's not your situation, you need to budget. I heard somebody say years ago that you will waste money as long as you can afford to. Think about that. So you got to plan your spending. To plan your spending, that means, listen to me, you got to prioritize needs, wants, then desires. Say that with me. Say needs, wants, then desires. And so what messes people up, particularly if you come to a church like this and you look around at other people, you look at somebody else's car, you're on Instagram scrolling, look at everybody else, you'll start living in your desire realm without your needs being met. And then if you're not careful, you'll end up begging your wants, okay? You'll end up spending your needs and you're begging your wants. And you're begging your needs. You're buying your wants and then you're begging your needs because you don't have your priorities set. And so in order to do this, we got to start out with another concept from the scriptures. And that concept is called contentment. Everybody say contentment. Contentment. 1 Timothy 6:6-8. It tells us, now godliness with contentment is great gain. If so much, I very seldom hear people preach this scripture, but it's so much in this scripture. A lot of times we like formulas. Here's a formula to get. Put it back up, please. Keep it up. Godliness with contentment is great gain. I live godly. I learn to be content and watch God increase me. Let me say it again. I live godly, I learn to be content, and I watch God increase me. In other words, I don't become so dissatisfied, so irritated, so anxious with my current situation that now I just go spend all my money on my desires rather than letting God bring me. Because the scripture said, and the Lord will bring you to a wealthy place. The Lord is bringing us. Somebody say, the Lord is bringing me, the Lord. Now, you can take yourself or you can let God bring you. I tried to take myself in the early days and I had to back that horse up and say, God, now I'm not going unless you bring me. I'm not going to let a car salesman bring me. Come on now. I'm not going to let the mattress salesperson bring me because they always try and tell you how you can squeeze it in. You're going to keep on squeezing it in until you get squeezed out. And that's why you hear people say stuff like, well, I can't afford the tithe because you squeezed the tithe out. You squeeze everything else in. God is with contentment is gain. It goes on to say, 1 Timothy 6, verse 7, we brought nothing into this world, and for sure is certain you can't carry nothing out. Somebody looked at this scripture and said, I've never seen a U-Haul behind a hearse. You brought nothing into this world, and it's certain you can carry nothing out. He said, so this is what you do. Verse 8, having food and clothing, with these be content. He said, learn to praise God that your needs are met. Come on now. Learn to give God praise, having food and clothing. Learn to be content. Look at my God. He promised if I seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, I don't have to take in thought what I'm going to eat, what I'm going to put on. Those are my needs. God's taking care of my needs. Anybody here, God's taking care of your needs? Come on, give God praise if your needs are met. Hallelujah. Thank you for supplying all my needs. Now, if you try to live in somebody else's realm, you'll always be discontent. But you ought to thank God that your needs are met. Some of you heard me tell this story years ago. We needed a car. I needed a car. Well, I had always had a company car from from my first real job out of college as a social worker. I had a state car, took the state cars on. Went to Maine, worked for my uncle initially. I had a car with him. Then when I went to Aetna, I had a company car. Always had a company car. And then when I got fired, we had just our beat up van, and I need another car, okay? And I need a car. And so I believe God for a car. I believe God car. Tyler, you remember this car, right? You remember the Saab, right, Tyler? Tyler's traumatized by the Saab, okay? Because we had an accident in the Saab right over here on Piney Grove, okay? The car was running, but the tires was bald. So we had a little accident that day. And I closed my eyes. How old were you, Tyler? About 8, 10? After we ran into this other car and ran into the railing. And first thing Tyler said, can I go home with Mom? Can you call Mom? Like, you were unsafe. But I paid $3,000 for that car. I paid $3,000. It was a debt-free car. You can tell me nothing, boy. I paid $3,000 at one time. What you talking about? And there was this guy who came to the church. He was coming to the church. He laughed at me. He said, Pastor, that's your car? I said, yeah. He looked at it. He said, look like it needs some work to it. The line in the car, the top is coming down. Into it. Look, it needs some work. You couldn't tell me nothing. I didn't care where he was. I knew what God did for me. I need a car. And God, come on now. And you need to rejoice right where you are. You need to rejoice because you know God's supplying your need. You need to rejoice because you start saying, I'm okay because I'm on my way. Look where he brought me from. If he did this, oh, I can only imagine what he's going to do. Every day with Jesus, it gets sweeter than the day before, and I start praising him right where I am. I learn to be content. Philippians 4, 11 and 12. Now, Paul, before he says, God going to supply all your need, and before he says, I do all things through Christ who strengthens me, look at the context of it. Philippians 4, 11 and 12. Paul said, he said, I thank you for everything that y'all have sent me and what you've done for me. Eliminating my need, and Paul's letting me know, I'm not trying to take something from you, Philippians 4, 11, because I'm not speaking regard to need. I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I have what? Learn. How many of y'all know learning is a process? You got to learn. If you don't learn to be content, you're always going to be in debt. If you don't learn to be content, you're always going to be anxious. If you don't learn to be content, you're always going to be comparing yourselves to somebody else. And when you compare yourselves to other people, you either feel one of two things. You either feel inferior to the person you think has more than you, or you feel superior to the person you think has less than you. And God doesn't want us to walk in inferiority nor superiority. So Paul said, I have to learn to be content whatever state I am. Paul said, listen, I've learned through the Spirit. I learned how to be abased. That means make it when I have nothing. I know how to abound. In everything and in all things, I have learned to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. No, Paul's saying here, he said, based upon my praise, based upon the smile on my face, you can't tell whether I got money or not. Come on now, I praise him when my pockets are running over. I praise him when I'm believing God to come through for me. No matter what I'm going through, God is still God. He's still sitting on the throne, and I learn to praise him. I learn to be content wherever I am, whatever I'm going through, because I know any minute now this thing can change. I know any minute now God can turn something around in my life. He said, I had to learn this. And you will have to learn to be content. Hebrews 13 and 5. It said, let your conduct here means your lifestyle. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Stop being jealous of people and envious people. I woke up with this thought on my mind today. You realize some of the people you're jealous of are jealous of you. You realize some people you're envious of, they're envious of you. You think you covered in their car, they're covered in your marriage. You covered in their house, they're covered in your peace. Are y'all listening to me? Sometimes the people you think got it going on ain't got nothing going on. So everything, come on, you'll realize there's some people who wear all their stuff. They're as rich as they look. Some of y'all gonna get that later. That's it. Ain't nothing at home, nothing in the bank account, They're always trying to impress somebody. He says, so let your life be without covetousness. Be content with what you have. I'm so glad he didn't stop there. Because content doesn't mean satisfied. Let me say it again. Content doesn't mean satisfied. Content means I can make it until my manifestation shows up. Man, I can praise him by myself right there. Content means I'm going to be all right because I know God ain't through with me yet. Content means any minute now, God's going to turn my situation around. He said, be content with such things that you have. Why? For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. In other words, I can be content because God is working on my behalf. I can be content because something's happening behind the scene. I can be content because God's raising up somebody somewhere to use their power, their ability, their influence to bless me. Oh, I can be content because I know God's not through blessing me yet. I can be content because I know that there's more where this came from. Look at somebody say, there's more where this came from. So I said, if you're going to have a strategy for longevity, you got to be able to distinguish your needs, your wants, and your desires. So the first question, what do I do about my needs? Here we go. You trust God for your needs. I trust God. I'm serious about it. I trust God. That is the most basic thing. Matthew 6, 26, take no thought for your life, what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, what you're going to put on. After all these things the Gentiles see, the Father knows that you have need of these things. You trust God for your needs. Matthew 6, 32 says, after all these things the Gentiles see, those who don't know God, those who don't have a relationship with the Lord, those who don't know who El Shaddai is, those who don't know who Jehovah Jireh is, they're worrying about these things. But Matthew 6, 32 says, your Heavenly Father knows that you need these things. Come on, say it with me. Say, God, I trust you for my needs. Now, I didn't get the wants and desires yet. I trust you for my needs. You got to rest content. God knows what I need. God knows those kids need to eat. God knows you need a roof over your head. Amen. God knows when the kids are going back to school. And so you trust God for your needs. And you stand on the word, Philippians 4, 19, and my God shall supply. Who's going to supply? My God. Now, I deliberately force myself to be in faith in these areas when I made the decision in my family that we weren't going to get WIC, that we were coming off reduced lunches and all that, because I'm like, God, where you're calling, I was pastoring. I'm like, God, where you're calling me to go? Come on, if I can't trust you to supply my, feed my kids, surely I can't build a church. And so I had to put myself in a position to build up your faith. Sometimes you need some resistance. Some of y'all need to add a few more weights to that bar, okay? Because you're trying to live life too easy. And where God wants to take you, you're going to need to stretch a little bit. I don't know who I'm talking to here. And you can't run away from everything that seems like it's stretching you. Because if you're going to get stronger, you're going to have to go through this. You're going to have to watch God come through. And here's sometimes the test of whether I believe God. How many people I tell? Sometimes God wants you to go through stuff and tell nobody. Don't even be hinting. Y'all ever hear people who hint? Listen, I need to pray for me. I'm going through. I got some things happening in my life right now. Next time somebody comes, just tell them, amen, I'm praying. Because you know they want you to go a little deeper. Well, what you going through? Sometimes you need to go through and tell nobody. I told y'all, as I go to church, they used to get up there. I don't think you need to do this in church. We used to have testimony service. This wasn't at my church, but this other church we used to go to. We used to visit sometime. And so, you know, one person sing a song, another person sing a song. That's traditional testimony service in Pentecostal church. And then somebody sing, and then, you know, somebody give a testimony. And then every now and then somebody jump up and say, unspoken request in Jesus' name. Sit down. Unspoken. I'm like, well, what's an unspoken request? Well, what you telling us for? If it's unspoken, then shut up. Shut up then, if it's unspoken. Sometimes you just need to go through with you and God and trust God. Are y'all hearing me? What about my wants? Go from needs to want. What about my wants? You manage your money for your wants. Uh-oh. You got to manage your money for your wants. Trust God for your needs. Manage your money for your wants. Come on, say it with me. Say, Lord, help me to manage my money so I can get my wants met. You manage your money. That means you're going to have a plan. You put things together. You say, after this is done, after this is paid, I'm going to... I don't know they don't do this anymore, but I came along at the time in the hood where they understood our situation. We used to have something called layaway. Anybody know anything about layaway? They don't know nothing about layaway today. Okay? The worst beating I ever had in my life is because my mother bought me a bike that she had on layaway for months and months and months. She had on layaway. Those who don't know what layaway is, you go to the store and you tell them you're going to buy it and you put $10 on it. You come back and bring $5. About 6 months later, you bring another dollar. And they were holding it for you. I don't know how long layaway was. My mother bought this bike. I lived in Providence. I was about 10, 11 years old. And so she bought the bike for my birthday. My birthday's in the middle of the week. So my birthday's like on Wednesday. Buys the bike, gives me the bike, and we go pick it up. And then she has to go to work. And she said, now, don't take the bike out until it's weekend. Y'all know that's too much temptation for a kid. Especially when your mom ain't home and she work nights. Don't take the bike out until it's weekend. It's Wednesday. I ain't supposed to take the bike out till Saturday. And that bike was sitting there all shiny. It was a green bike. It said, ride me. Please take me out. I am lonely in this project apartment. And then she said, not only don't take the bike out, she said, when you take it out, don't go in the park. The park was right across the street from the projects. And the devil made me take the bike out, and I went to the projects. Some of y'all heard this. How many of you heard this story before? A few of y'all heard this story. See, a lot of people haven't. Okay. So I took the bike, took to the project, and I was just getting some water from the water fountain. Then I'm going to go right back. And this guy came and said, man, that's a nice bike. Can I have a ride? Sure, you can have a ride. He got on my bike and went riding off like a horse on a Western. He rode into the sunset with my bike. I'm standing there crying, not because my bike is gone, but because my mother gonna tear my behind up. Just about that time, some teenagers came on. They're about 14, 15. They say, hey, little man, what's up? I said, God, he stole my bike. They said, wait. And so they ran after him. They ran after him, and they caught the guy. And he jumped off the bike, and they brought me to my bike back. I said, man, that was so nice. Then they said to me, this is a nice bike. Can I have a ride? Now, surely they deserve a ride, right? And they went riding off, and I never saw my bike again. My mother got home around midnight. Lights came on. I had worn about 3 pairs of pajamas that night. The lights came on. She said, take everything off. Everything. I called up at work. I said, Mom. I said, someone stole my bike. And she had her nice professional voice. She says, did you take it out? Because, you know, there's other people around. Did you take the bike? I said, yes, ma'am. Did you take it to the park? Yes, ma'am. She says, okay, we'll deal with it when we get home. Take everything off! And I got beat with an extension cord. The worst whipping of my life. Because she had that thing on layaway. Sometimes, I'm traumatized, y'all. That's why I told that story. I'm still traumatized. Sometimes you got to learn to wait. You got to learn to wait on your wants and trust God. Number three, your desires. Here we go. Listen. So you do what for your need? You trust God. Okay. You manage your money for your wants. Listen to me. For your desire, you use your faith for your desires. Use your faith for your desires. Faith. Now, faith is a substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. I got to use my faith because I don't have no money for this. I have to use my faith because I got other priorities when this money does come in. I got to use my faith. My faith says if God don't do it, it can't be done. I use my faith for my desires because you don't have to have your desires. You want your desires. Your desires are things for you to enjoy. And so you stand on the word, God, you said you give me all things to enjoy. I'm just going to trust you for that. So let's make this plain. I talked about a car earlier. So you don't have a vehicle. And in these Carolinas, you need a vehicle. Not a bike, a vehicle. Okay? You need a motor truck with a motor, some transportation, right? So you need a vehicle. You need a car. You want a four-door. You desire a Mercedes, but you need what? You need a car. You want a four-door. You desire a Mercedes. And what some of us do, we go right out and get the Mercedes. And you got to start with your needs. Go to your wants, then your desires. And you praise God at each level. Use your faith. Look. So Proverbs 27, 23 through 27. I'm preaching on this on Wednesdays. It says, be diligent to know the state of your flocks. Your state of your flocks is your finances. Your financial situation. Look well to your herds. He said, because riches don't last forever. He said, the crown doesn't do it every generation. Stop waiting on somebody to die so you can live. They may or may not leave you something. He said, the hay is going to appear, the tender grass is going to show itself, the herbs are going to be gathered. He said, and then you start having a spending plan for your harvest. The lambs are for your clothing. The goats to invest for the price of a field. He said, if you learn to manage and save and use your faith, look what's going to happen. You shall have goat's milk enough for your food. Hey, by some, I'm going to have enough. You have enough milk for your food. You have food for the household and the maintenance of your maidens. So, and then the third thing I want to tell you, as you move on to start for strategy for longevity, you got to start thinking generational wealth. Say, Lord, help me to think about generational wealth. Generational wealth means this got to go beyond you. Generational wealth means I'm going to put my children in a situation that they're able to be better off than I was. And God forbid if we have parents who still say stuff like, maybe some of your parents said, well, nobody helped me. I'm not going to ask you, any of you ever had your parents say that, well, nobody helped me. Well, wouldn't you have liked somebody to help you? Isn't that what family's for? So don't keep that dysfunctional thinking going. I got mine, you get yours. Nobody helped me with no down payment for a house. Think generational wealth. Proverbs 13, 22. A good man leaves an inheritance to who? His children's children. I call this a 3G man. Your generation, your children's generation, your grandchildren's generation. 3Gs. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. But the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. And a lot of time, we've always jumped right to wealth of the sinner, later for the righteous. Wealth of the sinner, later for the righteous. The Amplified says, and eventually going to find his way to us. That's one aspect of wealth. But the other aspect of it is that we start building something for our next generations. We have to start thinking intergenerationally. That verse from New Living Translation says, good people leave an inheritance to their grandchildren, but the sinner's wealth passes to the godly. I often quote Psalms 112, and it bears repeating in this context about generational wealth. Psalms 112, 1 through 3, New Living Translation. Praise the Lord. How joyful are those who fear the Lord and delight in His and obeying His commandments. Here's going to be the result. Their children will be successful everywhere. Come on, every parent declare that. Say, my children will be successful everywhere. I don't care what it looks like right now. Keep speaking God's word over them. Keep declaring God's word on them. Their children will be successful everywhere. An entire generation of godly people will be blessed. And they themselves, that's talking about you. They themselves will be wealthy and their good deeds will last forever. He said, God going to bless you, and you are going to have a perpetual impact on the future generations. In other words, God said, I want you to start thinking like this. Say this with me. Say, my children and my grandchildren will not have to start from scratch. Hallelujah. 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 My children and my grand, even if you started from scratch, that's the last scratch. I said, even if you started from scratch, your scratching days are coming to an end. Hallelujah. My children, my grandchildren will not have to start from scratch. My granddaughter, I only got one granddaughter. She texted the other day. She said, we vacation as a family every year. And she said, we started off, and I've owned this place down there, I don't know, 20, 25 years. And the kids, my whole family used to go there. Well, now they got their own, they got wives, husbands, and their kids. So now we all can't go to that one place. Now I end up getting that place, and I got hotels and other places we rent. And my granddaughter texted, she said, Papa, have you considered buying a place down there that's large enough for all of us to be there one time so we don't have to be in different places? Now, this is an Ocean Shore community. And I text her back. I said, we have actually thought about it. I said, but the homes down there are very, very expensive. She texted me back and said, God can do anything, you know. I said, you are right. You are right. What's that? That's a whole different way of thinking. Are you following me? That's a whole nother way of thinking than many of us. Some of us would have got cussed out. You say to your parents, you need to buy something. I need to what? You ain't bringing nothing up in this piece. That's a whole nother level of thinking. Let me finish this, y'all. Genesis 25 and 5. Abraham, God said, I'm going to bless you and bless your descendants. And Abraham started leaving an inheritance to his children. Genesis 25 and 5 says, Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac. He gave all that he had. So he left Isaac a lot of stuff. Not only did that, but some of y'all don't read, Abraham got married again, after Sarah died. He married, Keturah. He had like 6 more children. Y'all hadn't thought about that yet. How old was he when he had Isaac? How old was he, y'all? Come talk to me. 99, 100, right? Then he got married and had 6 more children. What a man, what a man, what a man, what a mighty good man. What a man. That's in the words, y'all. He went and had 6 more children. From his second wife. And then I ain't gonna read that part, but the next verse 6 says, and to all his concubines, he gave all those kids, he gave them gifts. He said, now y'all, you're getting, and then he told them, go on, y'all get away from Isaac. Seriously, Isaac was a covenant child, okay? But they didn't have to start from scratch. Look at Genesis 26, 18. So now Isaac is starting off walking towards the promises that God gave to his father. But look at this. And Isaac dug again the wells of water which they dug in the days of Abraham, his father. The Philistines had stopped him up after the death of Abraham. But he dug again. He dug again. Can I tell you, digging again is easier than starting from scratch. He didn't have to start from scratch. His father had already dug the wells. The enemy tried to clog up the wells, but he dug them again. He didn't start from scratch. Say it again. Say, my children will not have to start from scratch. One scripture that we base our Supersede Sunday on about preparing, coming, and bringing substantial gifts and offerings is based in part from what David did so his son could build the temple. 1 Chronicles 22. And David said, Solomon, my son, is young and inexperienced. The King James says he's young and tender is where you get the term tenderoni from. Okay. My son is young and inexperienced, and the house to be built for the Lord must be exceeding magnificent, famous and glorious throughout all countries. Look at this. I will now make preparation for it. He wasn't going to build it. His son was going to have the assignment. He said, but I'm going to prepare to help my son do what God called him to do. My son will not just start from scratch. I will now make preparation for it. So David made abundant preparations when? Come on, say it. He made preparation when? Come on, come on, talk to me. He made preparation when? Now, I believe the upper take is coming too. But so did my foreparents. Jesus, if Jesus spares is coming, you're going to see the undertaker before you see the upper taker. And just because you see the undertaker don't mean you won't still see the upper taker if you receive Jesus. But we got to start preparing before we die. Well, I'm going to make a will. I'm going to get around to it. Now, look, quickly, it's three things everybody got to have. You need a will, you need a power of attorney, and you need a living will. A will is whatever you have, who gets it. Power of attorney means if you have an accident today, you're still living, and you can't handle any of your business, who can handle your business on your behalf while you're still living? Y'all ain't writing. And the living will says if you're alive but you can't make your own medical decisions, what you want done, whether you want to stay on a ventilator for the next 10 years, whether you want them to keep using experimental drugs on your behalf, or whether you want to go on and be with the Lord. Everybody needs to have that. I just told you what you need to have, right? So don't make me mad by dying and not having it. I've seen this happen in this church. I get a piece. Some of y'all just want to hear. And I'm giving you real practical stuff that can make things better for you and your children, and you won't do it. I've had people close to me listen to what I'm saying, but don't do it. Say it with me again. Say, my children. My family will not have to start from scratch. Hallelujah. So I speak that over you. I declare that over you. You're going to have long money. I speak over you that your shorts are over. I speak over you that you're going to have more money than month. I speak over you that you're going to have more money than year. I speak over you, listen to me, receive this, that you'll have to set up multiple accounts. I speak over you that you'll be able to leave property to all your children. I speak over you, that all your needs are met, that you're out of debt, that you have plenty more to put in store. I speak over you that you won't have to struggle and your children struggle. I speak over you that your children, your grandchildren, your husband and wife, they're going to honor you because you set them up to be blessed.
Stay connected with us in person or online. Stream our services live on YouTube or rightdirection.info on Sundays at 9 a.m. and on Wednesdays at 12 noon and 7 p.m. On Fridays, join Dr. Marsha Bailey for Manifest at 12 noon online only. If you're in the local area, join us in Columbia, South Carolina at 1705 Shivers Road. If you're in the Florence or Orangeburg area, join us for services there. For campus service times and locations, visit rightdirection.info.